Well, quite frankly, I'm not sure the church is going to be big enough. We've had so many yeses. I mean, we've invited 150 because you got to, haven't you? But we banked on several not being able to come. I was hoping some in particular would say no, especially all that clan of your father's from Stoke-on-Trent.
The Lawsons are coming all the way from Exeter.
Yes, but I don't mind the Lawsons. She's a nice little body. And he's no trouble since his asthma cleared up. But that lot from Stoke.
Are those your cousins that won the pools?
Money doesn't buy breeding, Bob. They don't know how to live in a decent house. The first thing they did when they moved into theirs was to rip off all the lavatory seats and use them as picture frames. Yes, well, I don't know who we're going to seat them next to. Terry would be best, of course, but he'd be sitting at the top table. Yes, his best man.
Taking care of the bridesmaid. You will take care of me, won't you, Terry?
Naturally, Susan.
We should have had it in a bigger church. We should have used St. Andrew's.
Certainly not. Your father's lot might be Presbyterian, but no daughter of mine's getting married in any church other than C of E.
I don't see what difference it makes.
Huh.
I mean, there are many roads to God.
There may be many roads to God, Robert, but I've always thought of the Church of England as the M1, so to speak.
Well, if that was the case, learners, pedestrians and people in invalid carriages would never get to heaven.
Is he being rude?
Oh, come on, ma'am. It was quite witty.
And some fell on stony ground.
I hope his best man's speech is going to be wittier than that.
Well, I'm not making a speech.
What does he mean? Of course he is. It's expected, however badly he does it.
You have to make a speech. You have to toast the bridesmaid's health and read out the telegram.
I don't mind doing that, but I'm not making a speech.
But you must, Terry. It's expected.
Sorry?
The best man always makes a speech. You've got to.
Look, there is no way that I can be made to make a speech.
But you'll make such a good one.
Pardon?
It'll be the highlight of the day.
Will it?
And it is expected. And you are responding on behalf of me.
Well, only this once.
Well, we're only getting married this once, hopefully.
Oh, God, yes, I'm not going through all this again.
All what, Robert?
All this fuss.
All this fuss, as you term it, is for your benefit. It's the parents of the bride who have to assume the responsibility for all this fuss, and the not inconsiderable cost involved. I want this day to be the happiest and joyful day of my Thelma's life, and if it isn't, someone's going to suffer for it.
Happy and joyful days making everybody so bad-tempered and miserable.
I'm not bad-tempered and miserable.
Yes, you are. You've been bad-tempered all week.
I have not, dearest. But I'm quite willing to go along with every suggestion that you and your mother order. I mean, suggest.
There's so much to be done, I just don't know how I'm going to get through it all. The dressmaker's due in 10 minutes, the caterer's at 12, and... Oh, and we must go down to the hair shop to see about the Page's outfits.
Page's?
Thelma's little nephews, Dean and Kirk. They're going to be Royal Stuart tartan with silk ruffles.
Isn't that a bit Presbyterian?
Is he being rude again?
Well, I'm a bit worried, Mum, about those two. Young Dean's such a, well...
Evil?
Yes. Evil child.
Well, I blame her. She just lets him run riot.
Well, I don't want him running riot at my wedding.
Well, that's Terry's responsibility, according to this book. Listen... where is it? Yeah. In case of any disturbance, the best man will do what he can to pour oil on troubled waters, pacifying the parties concerned with persuasive and polite tact.
What does all that mean?
It means if young Dirk gives you any stick, you kick him up the kilt.
I don't know where you get these coarse expressions from. Oh, yes, I do.
Your dressmaker's early.
Oh, dear, look, get a move on, girls. Clear those coffee things away. There's so much to do. Now then, you two boys can't sit here all the morning daydreaming. far too much to get through. You've got to get your suits this morning, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
And seeing the taxi people.
Oh, no, it's all in hand.
And don't forget the flowers for the church. Now, what is there?
Church flowers, bride's bouquet, bridesmaids' bouquets, buttonholes.
And you've got to ring the vicar and check on the cost of the choir, bell ringers, and the use of his organ.
Gee, me. You have to check all this. Yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Haven't you got any say?
Well, what can you do, man?
You can put your foot down. Draw the line somewhere. Be firm with them.
Oh, like you were with Susan. I'm not making a best man speech.
Well, that's different. I didn't want to offend her.
Well, I don't want to offend Thelma.
But you can afford to offend Thelma. She's going to be your wife.
It's their big day. You know how women feel about weddings. You're supposed to sustain me this week with advice and comfort.
Here's my advice. Call the whole thing off.
It's gone too far for that. We had to pay the caterers in advance.
Here, let's see that book. What are my functions, then? Get you to the church on time, stand by your side in the service, settle the account in the vestry.
Well, only if the bridegroom has forgotten so to do. But you have to tip the verger.
The verger? Does he get tipped every wedding? Boy, he must be cracking it there. But with christenings and funerals, he must take home more than the archbishop.
I wish you'd take your duty seriously. It says in there that the best man is the hub around which a well-run marriage revolves. It says I should choose someone who is at the same time gay and reliable.
I won't let you down, sailor.
I wonder.
I better keep this book then swatted up. What's that other one?
Get off. Mind your own business.
Hey, give it here.
No,
give it
look.
Here.
Our mother gave it us. It's the medical council thingy.
Oh, good. Where's all the dirty bits? Oh, I see. It opens at the place of its own accord. And so to bed. For the great adventure of sleeping together for the rest of your lives. God preserve us. There can't be much adventure left by the time you're 60. What else? Oh, ye. Will I make a good lover? What will she think of my body? Does she know about your knees?
Look, there's nothing wrong with my knees. I don't need to know anything from that chapter. It's the other articles on useful shopping and things for the home. That sort of thing.
I can see that. They've got a funny sense of priorities, all these family planners. They've got three pages of sexual problems and a whole chapter on floor coverings.
Well, I wouldn't know. As I say, there's nothing that chapter can teach us.
Well, it says here, try to make sure that the bedroom is warm and that your bed doesn't creak. But there's nothing wrong with the sitting room sofa for a change of scene.
Hey,
come to my arms, my beloved.
Get off, get away. You silly. Stop
it. Don't fight
get
it,
off.
Dearest. Relax. We're washing up, can wait.
No, will
just
you
lie
stop
back,
it?
Close your eyes and think of England.
Terry, will you?
I need you.
Will
I want
get
you.
Off,
Jack,
Yes. Well, the sooner you marry Thelma, the better.
What happened to you? What happened to me? What became of that me?
The trousers are the wrong size.
Mine and all. Suspicious, that.
How do you mean, suspicious?
The way he's taken such a long time over the trousers.
He's all right. He's just taking care.
So should we. I didn't like the way he lingered over my inside leg measurement.
You're so thin, he was probably wondering if you had a leg in there.
Better look this time, I should think. Now, let's see how these trousers fit.
I can manage, thank you.
Your friend seems a little ill at ease.
Pardon? Oh, just nerves, I expect.
Oh, I see. Well, you're bound to, aren't you? Before the big day. I'll just see how he's getting on. How do these seem?
They're fine, they're fine.
Not too tight around
certainly
the...
not.
If you're sure, when's the big event?
The what?
The wedding.
Oh, that. This Saturday.
Oh, I hope it keeps fine for you.
Why?
Well, I thought... Well, what I mean, surely a little sunshine must help.
Worried about your suits getting wet, are you?
Of course not, sir, but on such an occasion, I'm sure the ladies want fine weather.
I don't see what difference the weather's going to make. I mean, you've made your mind up. Not going to have second thoughts because a cold front's coming in from the Azores.
If you put it that way, yes, I suppose you're right, sir. In fact, I was married in a blizzard.
Oh, you're married, are you?
12 years. 3 children.
Oh, well, in that case, these trousers are a bit loose round the waist.
These are fine. They fit very well.
Oh, good, sir. I'm afraid we have a waist problem here. Don't think we've got a smaller fitting.
Yes, he is a bit, on the narrow side.
In shape, though, but...
He's so thin that his mother made his bed this morning, she didn't notice he was still in it.
Should we get on, then?
I'll go and have another check.
Let's see your hat on.
Oh, God, does nothing ever fit?
Well, it doesn't matter, you don't wear them anyway. Just carry them like this, with your gloves and your prayer book inside.
Do you? Thin grey gloves, top hats and carnations. I'll never hold me head up in the black horse again.
I might as well do things properly. St. Mark's doesn't get many morning suits.
This is just another concession to your middle-class mother-in-law.
Nothing of the sort. It was my suggestion.
Never in this world. It was her. And it wasn't a suggestion. It was a royal command. They're all the same, that lot, middle classes. Especially the ones that just been promoted from the lower divisions.
Do you know your trouble? Shall I tell you your trouble? You're an inverted snob. All we're doing is hiring a suit of clothes. Just clothes that are appropriate for an occasion.
That is not the point, though, is it, Bob? It's a matter of principle. Principle of what we're all fighting for. Equality. Decent wage for a job well done. Fair crack of the whip, fair slice of the cake. Just a chance to hold your head up high and bring your kids up decent. Take away a man's work and take away his pride.
You were watching Panorama last night, weren't you?
Pardon?
Weren't you?
Well, so what? I never miss it. I am interested in issues of the day, social injustices.
Oh, so now we've got a social conscience, the thoughts of Chairman Collier. And after all those years of being an uncompromising don't know.
What do you mean? I've always been solid Labour.
Never in the world. You've always been a don't know, you and your family. Nobody in your family's known for generations. Centuries ago, they'd probably had to toss a coin to decide between the Roundheads and the Cavaliers.
Can't find anything smaller, sir, so we'll have to put a tuck in the waistband. Your gloves, sir.
Hat's too big.
Oh, one doesn't often wear the hat, sir. Just carry it like this, with your gloves and prayer book inside. I think the bride will be very proud of you.
No, she won't. She can't stand the sight of me.
Oh. Oh, well. Perhaps she'll grow to love you.
Strange thing to say.
He got married in a blizzard.
Oh, I see. Well, I'd better go and settle up with him.
To marry in the morning.
Oh. Morning.
Aye. You feel as daft as I do?
I don't feel too comfortable.
A load of... load of cobblers.
The women like it.
Yeah, some women more than others.
You the groom?
No. Best man. It's the groom's in-laws that are responsible for all this. Snobs. You know the type. Jumped up from nothing to a posh semi with a monkey tree. She sees herself as the Jackie Onassis of the Tudor estate set.
Hey, have you got a pen, Terry? I want to give him a check. Hello, George.
Hello, Bob.
Terry, you haven't met Thelma's dad, Mr. Chambers.
Well, you see, I'm very comfortable. I'm a builder. I did very well in the post-war boom, survived the sticky patch, and I'm doing very well now. But before that, I was a brickie, and I'm still a brickie at heart. But Thelma's mother always had grand ideas. It's always luncheon is served in our house, even if I only want a couple of cream crackers and a pickled onion. We only take the telegraph to impress the newsagent's wife. Airs and graces. It's daft, but harmless. Mostly.
I didn't mean any offence.
No offence taken, lad.
I was just a bit upset about having to get all tarted up.
Me too. I'll never be able to hold my head up high in here again.
I said that.
I know, I heard you through the curtain.
Look, it's just a uniform. It's just a suit for all occasions. Like if you go riding, you wear jodhpurs. If you play cricket, you put flannels on. If you go shooting, you wear a Norfolk jacket. In Norfolk.
I'll take some stick from my father, if he turns up, like. There's no love lost between him and the wife.
Oh, aye. If there's any aggro, you know, it's my duty as best man to pour oil on troubled waters.
You might have to if he hits the hard stuff.
This wedding mightn't be so bad after all.
He's a caddy, old soul. Ex-pitman, you know. Chew shag tobacco and won't take his hat off at table.
My granddad was a pitman. Went on the Jarrah March and all. And my uncle Wilf.
Aye. They dropped out at Durham, though.
He was never a well man.
He was never a sober man. Him and Wilf were only on that march till the pubs opened.
The poor old Uncle Wilf's still in that dull queue.
Your Uncle Wilf has spent his life avoiding work. He lives up here because of the high unemployment. The only man the Labour Exchange have ever given a clock and a long service medal.
Yes, yes. All right. But all I know is if my granddad saw me poncing about in this Ascot get-up, he'd turn in his grave.
He was cremated.
All right, he'd turn in his urn.
Another round, Jack. Make it double.
No, put it away, lads.
Put it away. This wedding's costing me enough so much a few whiskies ain't going to make much difference. Mind, I don't begrudge young Bob and Thelma here the cost. But I'd rather have spent the money on something for them, something useful for their house, like a... Well, like a...
Storage units?
Aye, that sort of thing. Young couples need all the help they can get.
Well, live and let live, that's my attitude. A week's time it'll all be over. The speeches and the confetti and the champagne buffet... And we can just get on with being married people.
Sharing the great adventure of sleeping together for the rest of your lives.
Eh?
I was only quoting from the book, the official one, like, medical and that.
Is that what it says?
Aye.
Well, I think I must have lost my spirit of adventure.
Of course, quite frankly, I mean, frankly speaking, I don't think young people should get married these days. People should just live together. That's what happens now.
According to my Sunday papers, it is. Seems to be the thing these days.
Marriage is an outdated institution.
Did you get that from Panorama and all? You can't live together here, not up here. It's all right in London or Paris or Sunderland. But you can't live together on the Elm Lodge housing estate.
Why not?
You can't, that's all. Not here. They've got residence committees and rotary clubs and all that. And they wouldn't accept it as living together. They call it living in sin. Or cohabiting. And they wouldn't talk to you or invite you to their Guy Fawkes parties.
That's just another middle-class hang-up. Why should you worry about what other people think?
Because in a housing estate, you live on top of other people. And you might get sick of the mindless chatter and Jimmy Young blaring out of every kitchen window, but you're part of it. And it makes it easier if you don't try to lick them.
Besides, you couldn't get a mortgage living together.
What a provincial attitude.
But I am provincial. I live in the provinces. That explains my provincial attitude. What attitude would you like me to adopt? An Albanian attitude or a Peruvian one? Or perhaps I should have a Zulu attitude. Have five wives and live in a mud hut on the municipal bowling green.
No, they'd never allow it. I mean, look at that poor woman on Sycamore Avenue who married an Indian. Ostracised at the corp, she is.
It's your small-town mentality.
What? I've never seen you as a freewheeling nonconformist. What are you going to do now you're back? Live in a loft with a woman's lip folk singer? You should wait till you've got something behind you before you start criticising other people.
Now, just a minute. I've had years taken out of my life, haven't I? Due to somebody not a million miles from here, it's like a handicap. Everybody's had 7 years start on me. All I've got to show for it is a broken marriage, a gammy leg and a tattoo on my left buttock.
Lads. Lads, please, come on now. This wedding's causing enough rows as it is. What with me and the wife and me and my relatives and now you two. I should have bought you a ladder and you could have eloped, Bob. Saved a lot of time and money. You don't fancy that, do you? There's a ladder in the builder's yard. We'll reach out Thelma's window.
It's too late now. The invitations have gone out. And you had to pay for the caterers in advance.
Yeah, that's just a thought. Mind you, it's not the economies that worries me as much as the fuss. It's all got out of hand. It's like a royal garden party, ain't it?
I was only saying to Bob this morning You have got to draw the line somewhere.
He's not far wrong, is he? I think the time has come for us men to make a stand. Get things into perspective.
Well, what can we do?
Well, first of all, we'll have a few more jars just to, confirm our convictions, as it were. Then we shall strike a blow for men's lib.
How?
Well, we can't burn our bras, but we can start by taking these bloody morning suits back. Same again, Jack.
There's one.
A token of our solidarity.
One for one, all for all.
Is that right?
That's near enough.
Power to the people.
One for all and all for one.
That's it, that's right, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
Where's old inside leg got himself to?
Come on.
Now, Bobby, no second thoughts now.
No, this is merely the start, George. I shall be changing the roles for a modest Minnie, having the flowers cancelled, and the choir and those bell ringers will be getting the elbow. Boy, oh.
And I, for my part, shall not be tipping the verger.
He won't take kindly to that.
Then I shall kick him up the cassock.
What?
The cassock, very painful.
What's a cassock?
It's a thing the verger wears.
Yeah, it's a hassock.
No. You kneel on an hassock.
I thought an hassock was a Russian horseman.
No, you fool, that's a Cossack.
I thought he played for Liverpool.
That's Toshak.
Bless you.
Well, just look at that. They've been drinking. What are the three of them up to? You've been drinking, haven't you?
Absolutely not.
Here's a swift half.
Drink. The health of the bride and the groom.
What are you diddling here, dearest?
Picking up the page boy outfits. Shouldn't you be at the florist now?
They have been drinking. And there's so much to get through. Well, what are you doing here?
What are we doing here? That's a fair question. Bob, Terry.
Yes,
Terry?
We came to collect our morning suits, didn't we?
Right.
What else?
Just this minute, got them. Can't stop, ladies. So much to get through.
Oh, men.
No, it's all too much. You are right. Have I missed anything?
Cars?
Hired.
Photographer?
Contacted.
Flowers?
Arranged.
Bell ringers?
Rung.
Hymns?
Booked.
That's about it, then. Till Saturday.
What happens then?
You get married Saturday.
Oh, yes, I do, don't I? Well, compared with this, that'll be a piece of cake.
Cake?
Baked. Rice Friday, I'm paid for.
You still got to pay for the choir and the vicar's organ. And I've got to tip the verger.
What's a choir cost these days?
Well, if it's the Vienna State Choir or the Huddersfield Choral Society, I should think more than you can afford. On the other hand, if it's only the St. Mark's Syncopating Six, let's see, have a look in the book. Here we are, choirs. Boys, 40 pence, men and women, 70.
It was only a shilling when I was in the choir.
I can just see you and your surplice and Toshak.
I had a fine little voice.
I'll make a note of that for my best man's speech. It says in this is about speeches, this one, that it's a good idea for the best man to expose some early incident of the bridegroom's childhood.
Well, don't mention Deirdre Birchwood. There's enough hang-ups without that cropping up again.
Ah, don't weaken, man. This time next week, you'll have embarked on the great adventure.
I'll be too exhausted to consummate it.
And you can spend the first week laying floor coverings. Or putting in your storage units.
There's more to marriage than storage units.
I told you that.
You told me lots of things. I should have listened. I should have just gone to the registry office. Or eloped.
The women like it. Think of it that way.
How's it all going?
Oh, fine, fine. fine. Everything's under control. Getting through it all. Exciting, isn't it?
Do you really think so? It's driving me out of my mind. I mean it. My hairdresser's gone on holiday, so it means getting it done by Denny, and he's never done mine before. And the dressmaker can't guarantee Susan's alterations in time. Mother's sending me up the wall, and young Dean set fire to his kilt.
Oh, come on, love. What's wrong? Don't get upset. Be all right on the night, on the day.
Why didn't you just ask me to come away with you? Why didn't we just decide to live together? That's what we should have done. It's an outdated institution, marriage. That's what this is.
Well, don't just stand there, Terry. You're the best man. You've read the booklet. During moments of crisis, you're supposed to sustain me with comfort and advice.
I'll go and get that ladder.
Just been listening to Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. Rodney Bewers and James Bolan appeared as Bob and Jerry, with Bridget Forsyth as Bob's fiancée, Thelma. Joan Hickson as Mrs. Chambers, Phil Owen as Mr. Chambers, and Anita Carey as Susan. Robin Parkinson played the part of the shop assistant. The series created and written by Dick Clement and Ian Lafrenet, the programme adapted for radio and produced by John Brow. Listen again next week to part 12, Boys' Night In.